Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this week's podcast, Ethan and I teach you the difference between idioms, expressions, and phrases. We've chosen 12 beautiful idioms to teach you so that you can understand their meaning and start using them in conversation. And also, make sure you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english for 2 bonus idioms as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Oh yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, or even
essential
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're in the park with your dog, at the shopping mall, or even
playing with your pet cat, pet fish, or pet dog.
So I am joined here, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm doing great, thanks. How about you?
Doing fantastic. So have you ever played with a pet fish?
No, I guess it's really tricky. If you have fish, they don't make the best pets, do they? It's the only pet I had growing up, really, because my mum and maybe my dad as well weren't so keen on having pets back then, but we did have some fish. So you kind of just stare at them through the glass, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they're not really the most entertaining of pets, or the most interactive for sure.
Yeah.
I think this topic probably came up. I just adopted a puppy a couple of weeks ago, which Andrea still has to come over and meet, but
yeah,
I've been quite busy playing and training and all that jazz.
Yeah, it's a big job, isn't it?
It is.
You said an expression there, all that jazz. What does that mean?
All that jazz. That's like to say kind of like et cetera, right? But it's more expressive. Would you say that in the UK?
Yeah, we do. I love that. It reminds me of one of my favorite musicals, Chicago.
Oh, I love that one as well.
Yeah.
I watched that one a lot when I was younger. So that said, that's a good place to kind of enter in, right? Because today we're talking about beautiful idioms. So what exactly is an idiom, Andrea?
So an idiom, the words of an idiom cannot be defined literally. So often we get asked by students, what's the difference between an idiom and an expression or a phrase and things like this? And basically it just means that their meaning is not obvious. You can't take them literally. You can't read the words and just believe what is being said. It has a different meaning. And expressions are used more to convey a message the way that the speaker wants it to be understood, whereas idioms are the opposite.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes them so tricky, so difficult, right?
Exactly. So we've chosen some really beautiful ones that we think sound really lovely, but also that natives use a lot. So if you learn these idioms, you'll understand natives better. And then once you really get a hold of them, you can even start using them when you're speaking. And they're just a lovely part of speech, really.
Yeah, I think as long as you don't overuse them, right? Because I've met some learners that they try to like use an idiom in every sentence and it can sound a bit overkill.
Definitely. What does that mean, overkill?
Overkill means that you're doing something in excess, right? You're doing it too much.
Yeah, so you know, just use one a day or something. You don't have to use loads in a conversation, just one is fine.
Perfect. So that said, before we talk about some really fun expressions or idioms actually that you can start using once a day or a few times a day with your English, we have a shout out for a very special listener out there.
So today's shout out comes from Ahmad. Would you say Ahmad or Ahmad?
Ahmad.
Ahmad, yeah.
Maybe.
So it's titled "To My Favorite English Teachers." I'm Ahmad from Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan. I have been studying English for 2 years and I should say my English didn't improve much. It's been 2 months since I'm following your channel on YouTube and listen to your podcast every day. I feel the progress in my English and I owe this to you guys. May God bless you and keep you safe.
That is very sweet of you, Ahmad, and it's really great to hear that our resources have been so helpful for you improving your English. I've heard that from a lot of people, but it's always nice to hear. So if you want us to shout you out, it's really simple. Just head over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to us and leave us a 5-star review. And the really great thing is when you do that, you get to help other people to have fun learning with us and maybe make it a little bit more effective, just like it's been for Ahmad. So that said, we have a beautiful quote to share with you before we get into some beautiful idioms.
Yeah, so today's quote is by Audrey Hepburn, who's a famous actress. And I think she was a philanthropist as well. She did do a lot of charity work. And the quote is, "You may be one person to the world, but you may also be the world to one person."
So that's a pretty tricky quote, right? And it's got actually an idiom in there, to be the world to someone, or that something would mean the world to someone. So what does that mean?
So what she's saying is that if you think of your place in the world, you're one person in the world, but to just one person, you could mean the world, you could be the world for them. So you might have such an impact on that person and be so important to them that to them, you are the world, like you are that important.
Exactly. And this is a really good one to use as kind of like a, if you want to ask a favor, for example, you could say it would mean the world to me if you could come to the party with me or something like that. So it's like kind of saying that I would hugely appreciate that thing. So that's kind of another practical use of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite a fitting one for today's topic. And yeah, you can take quite a lot from it. It's a really beautiful one.
Oh, yeah. So that said, I think that's a perfect segue into today's main topic. So what's the first one, Andrea?
So the first one is a really lovely one as well. Every cloud has a silver lining.
Yes. So what does this mean exactly? I think it makes a lot of sense once you hear it, like a lot of idioms, right? But when you first hear it, it's kind of like you just want to look up at the sky.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think of clouds, they're gray. Sometimes they make you feel a bit miserable because it's cloudy, a cloudy day. But usually behind the clouds, there is the sun giving them that silver lining. So although you might be in a bad situation, there's usually something good to take from it.
Mm-hmm. And we shorten this one a lot, at least in the United States, we'll say kind of like the silver lining, you know, like what's the silver lining that you can find in this problem that you're having, meaning like what's kind of the positive aspect.
Yeah, that's true. Then there's that famous movie Silver Lining Playbook, right, with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper.
Exactly. Yeah, we actually just did a lesson with Jennifer Lawrence, so actually it's as soon as I heard this, that's what I was thinking about as well.
Yeah, and actually we would shorten this even to every cloud. Do you do that in the States?
Every cloud? I don't think so. I think just the end part.
Yeah. I think like, you know, if you're having a conversation with someone, then you'd be like, oh, but you know, every cloud, and you might just shorten it that way.
To mean the entire expression, to mean the entire idiom.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So I think that's a really great one because it's kind of like taking an optimistic perspective to life, right?
Exactly. It's a nice positive one.
And I think that the next one, it's very similar. It's a blessing in disguise. So there's actually a really funny clip that we actually used from Modern Family a while back where Gloria thinks that this expression is a blessing in disguise, which sounds a little bit like every cloud has a silver lining, like you're looking in the sky, but it's in disguise. So what does it mean if you're wearing a disguise?
If you're wearing a disguise, you're trying to hide who you are. So it might even be like if you think when you dress up for Halloween or something and you wear a costume, if it really looks different, it might even be a disguise. So you're trying to hide who you are. But I remember that scene. That's a really funny episode from Modern Family.
That's a great one.
Yeah. So if something is a blessing in disguise, it means that maybe something bad happened, but then the result was good. So initially, it seemed like a really negative situation or problem that you had, but then eventually it became a blessing. It was a really good outcome. So that's where this one comes from.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I was like preparing for this morning and I was listening to an audiobook. I'm listening to the biography of Winston Churchill. And I heard that one in that because he was saying that basically he lost an election. I think it was like in Manchester or something for a seat that he was holding in Parliament. And then he said it was actually a blessing in disguise because he ended up getting elected to an even better position. So it's kind of like that kind of situation that you never know sometimes when something negative happens, what it might lead to.
Exactly. It's like you have to trust in what's happening, trust in the universe or whatever you believe in, and know that maybe some good is going to come out of it. Another one could be, you know, everything happens for a reason. That's more like an expression rather than an idiom, which has a similar meaning.
Exactly. It's like one that your mother might always tell you, right? When you're down and out.
Yeah. What does it mean if you're down and out?
You're down and out. You're blue. You're depressed.
Yeah.
So that's a really great one. You'll hear it all the time in English.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up.
So the next one is to wear your heart on your sleeve.
So what exactly does that mean? What is a sleeve, first of all, in case someone doesn't know what that means?
So a sleeve is the part that covers your arm of clothing. So whether it's a jumper, a sweater, or just a long sleeve top, the sleeve covers the whole of your arm. So if you're watching this, you can see me touching my arm, but then that's probably the best description. So imagining your heart on your arm, but obviously on your clothing, on your sleeve.
Yeah. I think we all tend to know someone who wears their heart on their sleeve, right?
Definitely. So what does this one mean?
If you wear your heart on your sleeve, it's kind of like you're putting all your emotions out there, right? Like I've heard this more used with men, maybe. Like the guy who, you know, he's not playing hard to get or anything. He's just like very direct about how he would feel about someone, you know, that he's romantically interested in someone.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I think of it as well a lot in relationships. And yeah, you described it perfectly. If you wear your heart on your sleeve, you show your emotions. You're not afraid to show them and you don't hide your emotions.
So it's again, like once you know what it means, it kind of makes sense, right? Because you kind of think of like your heart obviously is like in your chest, it's very hidden. You imagine someone having their heart on their sleeve, it's like it would be out there clear to see.
Yeah, exactly. This one does make sense in that way.
Speaking of hearts, what would it mean if you had a change of heart?
So if you have a change of heart, it means that you change your mind about something. So it could be that it could be something small, like you've made some plans and you've decided you're not going to go ahead with those plans. So you've had a change of heart. It could be more of a serious or important decision that you're making. And again, maybe instead of listening to your head, you listen to your heart. And so I think that's where this one comes from, that you have a change of heart.
What does that mean when we say in English that you're listening to your heart instead of your head?
So when you listen to your head, you're thinking more logically, you know, you're thinking very clearly about pros and cons. But then if you're listening to your heart, it's more about your feeling and also maybe your gut. Like sometimes maybe you're thinking more about your feeling, more the instincts and just maybe not so logically, more about the feeling.
So we say like often you say gut, like we say we have a gut feeling, right? That's like almost in your stomach, in your like deep down there that you just feel like you really should do something or you really shouldn't do something.
Exactly. Because the gut is actually, well, they kind of call it the second brain, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can tell a lot from your gut.
Exactly. And I think kind of similar to that, we'd say like as advice you might hear a lot is like follow your heart.
Yeah, that's another great one.
So it's kind of like means the same, right? So like listen to your gut, follow your heart, so like kind of do what you feel instinctually is the right decision.
Exactly. Because like I can even give you an example based on my life. So when I was applying for university, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to study. I knew what I loved doing and I was in between following my head and my heart. And then in the end, with the influences around me and stuff, I went with my head. But then I wish that, you know, I went with my heart, because I feel like I would have enjoyed it a lot more. But in many respects, it was a blessing in disguise, because it led me to other things. So
you initially followed your head and eventually followed your heart.
Exactly. Yeah. So it kind of just came back around anyway. It was like, oh, okay, you went, instead of just going this way, you kind of went around a little bit, you took a diversion, and the journey was a bit longer, but you still came back to where you needed to be.
Perfect. So do you want to introduce the next idiom?
Yeah. So the next one is to have a soft spot for someone.
What exactly would that mean? How do you have a soft spot for someone?
So when you have a soft spot for someone, it means that you really care for them. So if you think of your body, maybe somewhere within your body, there's like a soft spot, like a place, it's probably your heart really, where when you see that person, you know, you want to take care of them, you really love them maybe, or adore them, and you want to care for that person.
I always think of this maybe a little bit like, you know, grandparents with like the naughty child or something, that's like, you know, that child's always causing problems, but they have a soft spot for them.
Yeah, that's a really good example.
So always giving them candy and love and stuff, despite a little bit of mischief.
Exactly. So everyone's relationships are different, but usually you can think of grandparents in particular that kind of have a certain relationship with their grandchildren.
They're spoilers for sure.
What does that mean?
So if you spoil someone, that means that you're kind of doing things that might make them like a little bit like poorly educated in a certain sense of like, I think kind of cultural behavior, right? So you spoil someone, like maybe you spoil a kid by giving them a lot of candy or something like that, because, you know, obviously a kid will like you more if you give them candy and things like that, but you're spoiling them because, you know, they're learning maybe bad habits for taking care of their health. Or you might spoil them by letting them watch TV because like you need to get work done, and maybe it's like they're kind of creating a bad habit for that.
Yeah, you can spoil them in many ways. You can buy them lots of toys, so then they're not really appreciating what they have. Mm-hmm. You might spoil them with attention and love, so then they kind of get used to that, and then they find it really difficult if they're not getting a lot of attention. So there's many ways to spoil children, for sure.
Exactly. So that said, next we have that someone can take your breath away. I think this is a little bit similar. Maybe if you have a soft spot for someone, you might find that they often take your breath away.
Yeah, I love the sound of this one. And it just reminds me of that song. And I think it was in Top Gun. Do you know the song?
I just recently watched that, but I can't think of the song.
Yeah, it's like in quite a famous scene. I'm not going to start singing it because I don't have the best singing voice. But maybe you could learn it, Ethan, and you could sing it for us.
There you go.
But if something or someone takes your breath away, it means that you are just amazed by them, and maybe you find something so beautiful that it takes your breath away. Maybe it's the sunset or a sunrise or even a person.
Definitely. And we use this also as an adjective to say like that something or someone is breathtaking.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. Yeah, breathtaking. It's another way to describe it in a very simple way.
A good way to remember this might be, there's like a really great scene from Seinfeld, or actually I think an episode, where there's like an ugly baby and basically like it's kind of the situation where like everyone's like complimenting the baby because like it's ugly, but like the parents, you know, obviously they don't see it because like everyone thinks that their baby is really beautiful. But the doctor comes in and like tells this one friend that, you know, oh, you're really breathtaking. And so she's like really taken aback, but then he says the same thing about the baby. And so she doesn't know how to interpret that compliment from him. It's quite a funny situation.
Oh, interesting. I guess it's a good one to use as well when you're not sure what adjective to use.
You can't really go wrong, right?
Yeah.
So what's the next idiom we have on the list?
So the next one is the calm before the storm.
And what exactly does this mean?
So it's usually maybe you're entering a really busy period at work and you know what's coming, but you kind of have this period where everything's a little bit calm, you have a bit more time to work on things, but then the next day or the next week, that's it, the storm hits and you are rushed off your feet, you're super busy. And so we describe just the time before this as the calm before the storm, that period of maybe peace and time and things like that.
I think that actually comes from kind of like a natural phenomenon or something, right? That usually right before there's like a really big storm, there'll be kind of like this this like brief period where it's just everything's really calm and stuff. So it's kind of like it tricks you a little bit, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And again, it's just reminded me of a great film, The Perfect Storm, which is based on a true story. So if you haven't seen that, check it out.
All right. And the next one I think you said is British because I hadn't heard it before, but it also has to do with a storm, right?
Yes, it does have to do with a storm, and it's a storm in a teacup.
And what exactly does that mean? I think it's pretty clear it's British because like anytime you've seen an expression or an idiom that has to do with tea or teacups or teapots, then it's probably coming from the UK where you guys drink plenty of tea.
Yeah, exactly. So if you imagine it, a storm in a teacup, it's something very small. But this idiom basically means when you think of something small, you take something small and exaggerate it. So you make it maybe into this big problem when really it doesn't need to be.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is something that people do all the time, right? They like to be, we might say like you're being a drama queen or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a similar meaning to that, yeah.
So how exactly would you use this?
Maybe if you're talking to someone about a situation and they are really making it a bigger problem than what it is, you could say to them, it's not a big problem. You can solve it this way. It's a storm in a teacup, like to try to explain to them that you don't have to make it this huge problem. It's really much smaller.
Would you say you're making a storm in a teacup to someone?
You could maybe. If there's someone really exaggerating it in that way, you definitely could. Or maybe if you're just having a conversation with someone about a situation, you could say, oh, it's a storm in a teacup, you know? So describing the situation rather than telling someone that they are making that situation worse than what it needs to be.
Yeah. So I guess if you're really getting annoyed by them, then you could pull out the big gun and say, you know, you're being a drama queen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stop your fussing.
Yeah.
So as long as we're in the kitchen with the teacups, let's move over maybe to the spice rack. And with the next one, what is it?
Variety is the spice of life.
So that's a really great one. It's very, very descriptive. And maybe if anyone listening to this or watching this is really into cooking, maybe they'll already kind of intuit what this means.
Yeah, and it sounds so great, doesn't it? It just sounds like really interesting and I just love it. So what do you think? Well, no, you know what this one means. So what does this one mean?
So it's kind of like maybe your mother would tell you or like someone would give you advice, you know, to try new things. It's basically that like when you do many different things, you're always kind of like learning new things, having new experiences, kind of putting yourself outside of your comfort zone, that's the spice of life. And when you think of cooking, it's like, okay, you add spices to things to kind of give it more of an exotic feel, right? To give it kind of like a unique flavor. So it's not just kind of like your typical meal. It's spiced up, we would even say. So when you say variety is the spice of life, basically you're saying that you need to have these new experiences, put yourself out of your comfort zone, be learning new things, because that's what makes life really colorful or really special, right?
Exactly. You created some great imagery there with all of those like really interesting adjectives that you used. I think you described it perfectly.
And as always with this podcast, we always veer towards food. So getting ourselves hungry again.
For sure. I actually did have quite a nice spicy meal last night. I made Thai green curry.
Oh, I love curry. So kind of like shortening this, we might say that you spice something up. What does that mean? If you want to like spice up your relationship or you want to spice up an experience?
Well, maybe it's kind of been dwindling a little bit. So maybe rather than it being very exciting, like you can even think of like a flame burning, like maybe the flame is starting to dim and maybe you're becoming very comfortable and you want to spice things up. You want to make it more interesting. You want to try new things or just maybe get some passion back or things like that.
Mm-hmm. So I guess if you want to like spice up your relationship, maybe like you'll go out dancing or take dance classes together, go on a trip to, you know, an exotic location or something like that.
Yeah, try new things together and just try to capture again some of that spice in your relationship.
Yeah, so it's definitely a really good one. I think like that word spice, it can be used in really versatile ways in English.
Definitely.
So, and you can always just think about a delicious Thai green curry if you're losing that idiom. So next, we might say that you need to spread your wings. I think that's kind of a little bit of a similar expression, right? Advice from your mother or advice from like a wise older person?
Yeah, definitely. So if you spread your wings, it means that you're becoming more independent. You're going out there and trying new things. So you might even say, By moving away from home to go to university, it allowed me to spread my wings, for example. So it gives you that opportunity for a different experience.
Definitely. I think this probably comes from, I would imagine, kind of like how birds, they like actually the mother pushes the chicks, the baby birds, out of the nest, right? And they have to like basically it's they have to either like fly or fall, right? So I think it's kind of something like that. Like you have to leave the nest and spread your wings and kind of, you know, become your own person, your own man or woman.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a really good way to describe it, because that's exactly what it is. If you're a bird, you spread your wings and you fly, but it goes for us humans too.
Totally. So next we have what goes around comes around. Mm. What does this mean?
So you'll probably hear this a lot, especially if you watch lots of English TV shows and movies. So what goes around comes around means that whatever you put out there is going to come back round to you. So if you're a good person and you're positive and you're kind and, you know, you give out positivity, then you'll probably receive the same back. Whereas if you're kind of more doing nasty things or maybe not treating people very well, then probably the same thing will happen to you. It's like, it's a little bit like the law of attraction, I guess, as well. What the way that you behave then comes back to you. You're going to be treated the same way.
Mm-hmm. I think we might say that too when someone is like acting really unjustly, or you see maybe some leader that's doing like really terrible things or anything like this. You'll kind of be like, you know, what goes around comes around, he'll get his.
Exactly. Yeah, that's like a little add-on, isn't it? He'll get his or she'll get hers. Mm-hmm. I think that's quite American, but I've heard it a lot as well.
Mm-hmm. And what would that mean exactly?
That basically, I suppose justice will be served in a way. Like if you say he'll get his, it means that, you know, something will get back at him. So if he's being that way, then the same thing is going to happen to him.
Perfect. So does this at all make you think about Justin Timberlake? That's the first thing that popped into my head is that song.
I was just going to say the same thing. I've got it in my head now. I'm just like singing it. It's such a great song and a really great video as well with Scarlett Johansson, right?
Oh, is it? It's with, I didn't even remember that.
Yeah. I had to think there when I said her name, because obviously you've made a great lesson on the Real Life English channel about how to pronounce celebrity names. And I think she was one of them, right?
Yeah. It's one that even natives pronounce wrongly because basically people will think it should be pronounced like in Scandinavia. So it would be like Johansson, but we pronounce the J, you know, like an American Johansson.
I love Justin Timberlake, by the way. He's like one of...
Yeah, we probably have to make a lesson with him as well, right?
That would be amazing. I hope people vote for it. Maybe we can do a poll and I hope it's popular because he has some great songs.
Definitely. And he's also like a comedian. He's done like a lot of Saturday Night Live and stuff. He's really hilarious. So I think there's so many possibilities.
Definitely. I was just watching one that he did on SNL actually with, is it Adam Sandberg, the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Exactly.
It's a bit explicit, but it's hilarious.
So if anyone wants to find that, if you're not easily offended, then you can just go search for those two names on YouTube. I'm sure it'll pop up.
Yeah.
So I think we only have one more, right? One more for the podcast anyway.
Yes, just one more for the podcast. And it's burn the midnight oil.
And what does that mean when someone burns the midnight oil?
So I guess this comes from maybe centuries ago when people had oil lamps for light. Mm. And so maybe they're working in the evening really late and they're burning the midnight oil. They're like using up all their oil to basically work through the night. So that's what it means. You've been really working hard and working really late.
Yeah, I think that reminds me always of like the end of my semesters in university, that I would always be like kind of pulling an all-nighter is another way we might say it. Yeah. Because like had to finish some paper or had to like study for a test day the next day, and just kind of like the procrastination that tends to happen in college.
I know. How did we do it? Like we used to stay up so late working and writing, and I can't imagine it now. I think I would be so tired.
We used to go to, there was this cafe in Boulder where I studied, and I would go with some friends to this cafe that was open 24 hours. I think, I don't think all the time, but I think like during the university finals, which the finals, I don't know if you'd use the same word, but like the final exams.
Yeah, we don't really say finals. I think we would just call them the exams.
So we would go there and because you could, I think it was like something like $3, not very expensive. And you'd get like a mug and they had like endless mate, which mate is like a tea from South America that is really good for like, you know, waking you up and helping you focus in kind of a different way. So we'd go there and, you know, just drink tons of mate and work until the wee hours of the night.
What does that mean, the wee hours?
So that's like, I guess another way that you could kind of say that, the wee hours. Wee means small. I think that's like really Irish, isn't it?
Yeah, and Scottish, very Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like till the small hours, right? Which the small hours we think of like 1, 2, 3. So basically like you're working until very, very late, until really what would be the early morning of the next day.
Exactly, yeah.
So that one was to burn the midnight oil. So we actually have two more idioms that have to do with burn that will be exclusively over on our Instagram. So if you want to learn those, they're really fun as well, and you'll find them very practical that you can use in your everyday English. So I highly recommend that you head over to our Instagram at reallife.english and you check those two out.
Definitely. So make sure you go and watch that as well, because you're going to learn two extra ones and they are really interesting as well.
So that said, as always, thanks so much for joining us here on the Real Life English Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you next week. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah.
Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.